Let's open our Bibles again together, this time to the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Our focus will be fairly narrow this morning, focusing our attention on verse 17 of this first chapter. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 14 through 18. Verses 14 through 18, this is part of what is called the prologue of John's Gospel, or basically the introduction, where John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, really weaves in themes that are going to be developed later on in the Gospel. So John 1, beginning at verse 14, again, this is the very Word of God through which He speaks to us. Let's give our careful ear to it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me.' And from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known." Let's pray again briefly. Our great God and Savior, we again call upon You and pray those words that we just sang and ask that You would instruct us in Your statutes way. Lord, we know that we are weak, and as was just prayed, we are needy. We rest upon Your promise to pour out Your Spirit upon us that we might hear Your Word, that we might hear the voice of our Savior calling to us, that we might behold His glory and come to love Him more and worship Him more than we do. So speak to us now through Your Word, and our prayer is that Christ would be high and lifted up among us this morning. We pray in His great name. Amen. Well, the question I want us to consider this morning is, was Moses a legalist, or was he a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Did Moses preach Jesus as the only way of salvation, or did he preach another way to be right with God? Moses was the mediator in the Old Covenant, and one of his main roles as mediator was to deliver the law of God to the Lord's people. As John says here, the law was given through Moses. And the question is, did Moses view that law as a way of salvation? Did he view the keeping of the law as the only hope of eternal life, as the way to salvation? And if so, then Moses was a legalist. He was teaching others to rely on the law of God to get to heaven. And therefore, he was not a minister of grace. And many read John 1:17 and conclude just that Moses was a legalist. And verse 17 can, on the surface, seem to support this idea. We read, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." That verse seems to say that Moses was not really about grace. He was about the law. He was about works. But Jesus, on the other hand, he was about grace and truth. So this is the critical question. Was Moses a legalist, or did he preach salvation in Jesus Christ alone. And I want you to understand from the outset that this isn't just some abstract theological question that has no bearing on our lives. How you answer this question will determine your whole view of the Old Testament, your view of the Old Testament saints. It will determine your view of God and your view of His law. It will affect your view of the Christian life and how you look at the commandments of God and how you seek to obey them and whether or not you seek to obey them at all. It's a critical question. This verse has been sadly abused by many Christians as an excuse for not taking the law of God seriously. It is often used to dismiss the Old Testament as a whole as not really being relevant for New Covenant Christians. Because if Moses was indeed a legalist, then what do we have to learn from him? He was not someone who preached the gospel. He was not someone who shared in our like precious faith. He was a legalist. Others will go as far as to say that this verse shows that God had changed the way in which He saved people. They will say this verse shows that in the Old Testament, God attempted to save His people by works, by obedience to the law. But that obviously didn't work out well, so then He sent Jesus to bring a message of grace. These are our views. If this is what we think, if Moses was indeed a legalist, and the Old Testament has nothing to say to us, then we will have a distorted view of God. We will have a distorted view of His Word. If you don't think that the Old Testament is about Jesus, if you don't think Moses proclaimed Jesus, then in the end you will end up with an incomplete Jesus. If you ignore the Old Testament, which Jesus so clearly said was about Him, if you ignore two-thirds of the Bible, you will end up with one-third of a Jesus. You will end up with an incomplete Jesus. And so let's think about this question. Was Moses a legalist or was he a minister of the gospel? And this first heading will be more on the teaching side of things, and then we'll get to the preaching in the second point here. So hang with me here. I want us to think about verse 17, which is the source of great controversy. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, very often that verse is read as an absolute contrast. That is, on the one side you have Moses, and he was all law. And on the other side you have Jesus, and he was all grace and truth. These two statements tend to be read as being antithetical to one another. One is being put in opposition to another. There was no grace and truth in Moses, and there is no law in Jesus. And in fact, the King James and the New King James Version supply the word but, which makes the contrast sound even stronger. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the question is this an absolute contrast? Was there really no grace and truth in Moses and no law in Jesus? Well, this can't be the case. This absolute contrast just doesn't fit with the Scriptures. Moses certainly had grace and truth. He had the truth. He was given the Word of God, which is truth. And if you look at the ministry of Moses, he certainly believed in the grace of God. We see him interceding for God's people, pleading that the Lord would forgive them and show them the undeserved favor of his grace. And so Moses had grace and truth, and Jesus certainly had law. In Matthew chapter 5, at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus upheld the law when he said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And he goes on to say of the commandments that whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And so this can't be an absolute contrast, but rather it's a relative contrast. And frankly, we don't do well with relative contrasts. We like absolute contrast. Is it or isn't it? Is it black or is it white? Absolute contrasts are much easier. These relative contrasts require a bit more work and a bit more thinking. And so let's walk through this relative contrast. How should we be thinking about this statement that John makes? Well, first of all, and this is your first blank, we should think of this contrast in terms of promise, that's Moses, and fulfillment, that's Jesus. Promise and fulfillment. The promises, the types, the shadows were given through Moses, but the fulfillment came in Jesus. And the confusion over this verse, I think, shows the tendency of contemporary Christianity not to read verses in their context. Notice how verse 17 begins with the word "for." In other words, it's connected to the previous verses. And the immediate context tells us what John is getting at here. Look at verses 14 and then verses 16. "And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full grace and truth." And then verse 16, "For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." And so it wasn't that there was no grace and truth in Moses. Moses gave the promises, but the fullness of that grace came in Jesus. Jesus is full of grace and truth. It is from his fullness that we receive grace upon grace. Moses gave, Christ came. The contrast here isn't between two ways of salvation, but the contrast is between what was given and what has come. Moses gave the promise, Jesus came as the reality. But there is a contrast here. Yes, there is continuity. There was grace and truth in Moses. But there still is a contrast here. There is a difference between what was given in Moses and what came in Jesus Christ. Because what we have in Jesus is greater and better than what was given through Moses. And so secondly, and related to this idea of promise and fulfillment, we could say that the law revealed grace, but it didn't reveal grace fully. It revealed grace, but it didn't reveal it fully. The law contained grace. And John here, when he refers to law, he's thinking about the first five books of the Bible, sometimes called the Pentateuch or the Torah. When the Jewish reader of this book, when they would have read the law is given through Moses, they would have thought of those first five books of the Bible. And those first five books of the Bible contain the Ten Commandments, which is often called the moral law, and it contained the ceremonial law. All of the sacrifices, the priesthood, the tabernacle, the Passover lamb. And when we look back at those first five books of the Bible, specifically at Exodus 20, we find that when the law is given, it is given in the context of grace. The covenant given through Moses contained vivid pictures of God's grace. Think about where the Ten Commandments come. The Passover lamb precedes the Ten Commandments. The Lord gave his people a picture of the gospel in the Passover lamb, where he passed over the sins of his people on the basis of the shed blood of the lamb. And moreover, their redemption from the slavery of Egypt preceded the giving of the commandments. All these things come before the call to obey. And even after the law is given, we have the ceremonial law given, and we have more gospel pictures, more picture sermons that proclaim the gospel. David Murray puts it this way: God bookended the obedience he required with multiple picture sermons of the coming suffering Savior, the Lamb of God. So the Ten Commandments are given in a context of grace. Before the giving of the law, God redeemed his people. He brought them into a relationship with them. The words that come before the Ten Commandments are essential. God said to his people, "I am the Lord your God." That's relationship. "Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." That's redemption. And only after that do we hear a call to obey. And friends, that's the gospel order. Relationship and redemption, and then the call to serve the Lord. And so the law contained grace. God wasn't proclaiming a different way of salvation through Moses, but Moses preached the grace of God and the need to trust Christ. But while the law did reveal grace, it was given in the context of grace, it didn't reveal it fully. And that is the meaning behind the word truth in verse 17. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Again, it's not that there was no grace and truth in Moses, but what John is saying is that the fulfillment of all these things came in Jesus. He's not using the word truth as in it not being false, but rather, as it in being the real thing. Jesus is the real thing. And if you think about it, we talk this way all the time. We might say, you know, my 13-year-old, he's a great quarterback. Peyton Manning, he's a true quarterback. Not as in your son isn't, he's a false quarterback, but he's the real deal. He's the embodiment of what it means to be a quarterback. And that's the idea here. Moses was a great mediator, a great prophet, a great revealer of God. But Jesus is the true prophet, the true mediator, the true revealer of God. You see, John is highlighting and expressing the truth that the writer to the Hebrews expresses again and again. He says that the law has a shadow of the good things to come, but it doesn't contain the true form or the realities. And so the sacrifices, the priests, the Passover lamb, these were all things that had their time, they had their place, they preached grace, they preached the gospel, but they weren't the true form. They weren't the true thing. Jesus is the true thing. He is the reality. And with this one statement in verse 17, John is really telling us how to read this gospel. And so if we answer this question wrong, if we think that Moses is a legalist, not only are we going to have a distorted view of the Old Testament, we're going to have a distorted view of the New Testament as well. Because with this relative contrast, John is giving us a paradigm by which to read this gospel. He unfolds this very theme from beginning to end in John's gospel. He's showing Jesus to be the fulfillment of all of these types and shadows. Think about just a few verses later in chapter 1. John the Baptist says, "Behold," what? "The Lamb of God." There is the true Lamb of God. There is the fulfillment. In chapter 2, Jesus essentially says that he is the true temple. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." In chapter 3, Jesus says that he is the fulfillment of the serpent lifted up in the wilderness. In chapter 6, Jesus says that he is the true manna, the true bread from heaven. And on it goes. So I would argue that this verse is the key to reading the Gospel of John. Jesus is the fulfillment. Yes, grace and truth were revealed in Moses, but the fulfillment came in Jesus. And finally, evidence that this is not an absolute contrast, evidence that there was grace in Moses and that he was a minister of the gospel. I just gave you one long blank here, so get ready. Evidence that Moses was a minister of the gospel, that he wasn't preaching another way of salvation, is that he wrote about Christ, he preached Christ, he typified Christ, and he trusted Christ. He wrote about Jesus, he preached Jesus, he typified or foreshadowed Jesus, and he trusted in Jesus. In John chapter 5, Jesus so clearly said, "Moses wrote of me." He said, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me." Moses wrote about Jesus and salvation by grace. And he not only wrote of Christ, but he preached Christ. Hebrews 4:2 says that in the wilderness that the good news or the gospel was preached to them. And who was the preacher? It was Moses. He preached the gospel. And the writer then goes on to say that the reason that these people didn't benefit from that, reason they failed to enter the promised land, was because they lacked faith. Not because they lacked works, but because they lacked faith. And moreover, Moses typified Christ, or he foreshadowed Christ in his prophetic and mediatorial work. In Deuteronomy 18:18, God said to Moses, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command." That prophet, like Moses, was Jesus. He is the true prophet. Moses pointed to him. He typified him. And finally, the scriptures tell us that Moses trusted Christ. Moses did not believe that he was saved by his works or obedience to the law. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read that refrain, "By faith, Moses. By faith, Moses." And in verse 26 of Hebrews 11, we are told that Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. He trusted Christ. He was not a legalist. He was a minister of the glorious gospel of grace. He gave the promises. Jesus came as the reality. I mentioned earlier, we just don't tend to do well with relative contrasts. Is it or isn't it? And the profound theological answer to a lot of the questions that we have, that profound answer is it or isn't it? Well, sort of. You know, think about, I don't know, what time does it get light in the morning now? Around 6? You wake up in the morning at 6, is it light? Well, yeah, sort of. Compared to 3 a.m., it's light. But it's not as light as it is at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. And that's the contrast here. Moses was sort of like that 6 a.m. light. It was light. It was grace and truth. But it was nothing compared to what is revealed in Jesus Christ. So let's now move on to consider some critical questions that we need to ask of ourselves in relation to this subject. I mentioned at the beginning that this isn't some abstract question. Whether or not Moses was a legalist, or whether or not he preached the gospel, how you answer that question, it's going to have a bearing on your life, not a bearing on your salvation, on how you live the Christian life, how you view the Lord Himself. And so I want to think about three critical questions. And I'm phrasing it so you can put the question squarely to yourself. Ask yourself, first of all, am I receiving grace from Christ? Are you receiving grace from Christ? It might seem like a fairly obvious question, but let's think through this a minute. Grace is undeserved favor. Grace is God dealing with you in Christ and giving you the opposite of what you deserve. You deserve death, but in Christ He gives you life. You deserve separation from God, but in Christ He gives you union and communion with Himself. You deserve misery and a curse, but in Christ, He gives you joy and blessing. Grace is God giving you the opposite of what you deserve in Jesus Christ. He can only do this through His Son, which is why John says, from His fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. In other words, it's only because of the infinite perfection of His Son, and because of His Son's finished work, that we may go to Christ and ask for the opposite of what we deserve and actually receive grace upon grace. But the question is, are you going to Christ for grace? Have you, first of all, received saving grace from Jesus Christ? Have you gone to Him confessing that you are a poor, needy, helpless sinner who deserves only death and hell? Have you gone to Him acknowledging that, but at the very same time asking Him for His grace and favor? That's the amazing paradox of the gospel, that the Lord brings us to this realization that we deserve only death and hell and only His wrath and curse, and yet we believe that He is the one who can save us and give us the opposite from what we deserve. Have you come to Christ in this way? Have you come to Him asking for this undeserved favor of His grace? And even if you are a Christian, this question is still for you. Are you receiving grace from Christ? Are you seeking undeserved blessing from Him? And again, it can seem like a fairly obvious question, but let me give you this litmus test. How do you respond when you sin against the Lord? What's your response? Do you keep your distance from the Lord? Do you try to make up for what you have done wrong by doing something or giving something up? we very often do this, and when we do, we give something up or make some promise to the Lord, we kind of feel better about ourselves. We feel as though we have paid for our sins, and then we could come to the Lord. And it could come in many different forms. It could be our religious activities. We can try to get right with God after we sin by going to church or reading our Bibles or doing this or that. We may make promises or resolutions to do better and try harder. We may say to the Lord, I know I've sinned, but I promise to do better. Please forgive me. Friends, these are all forms of sacrifices that we make, that we think can make us right with the Lord. We have a sense of our guilt, and our gut tells us that the way to be right with God is by some kind of sacrifice. And this may be how you are relating to God today. The Bible tells us so plainly that this approach just does not work. It's impossible for you to be right with God by offering something to Him. Yes, God demands obedience to His commandments. He demands repentance from sin. But these are not works that make us right with God. They're not works that atone for our sin. It is Christ's sacrifice that atones for our sin. It's impossible for us to do anything that would remove our sin and our guilt. So that gut reaction that we have is partially correct. The way to be right with God is through a sacrifice. But it must be Christ's sacrifice. It must be His substitutionary sacrifice offered in our place. Friends, this call to receive grace from Christ is at the same time a call to stop trusting in your own works to atone for your sin. To stop turning your Christian duties into means of atoning for sin. It doesn't work. We are called to come to the one who is the true Passover lamb, the true sacrifice, and to receive from Him grace upon grace. This language that John uses of Christ being full of grace and truth, and from His fullness, that implies that we are empty. We need to come to Him, and the promise is that we will be filled up and overflowing with His grace. So are you receiving grace from Christ? The second question I want you to ask yourself is, am I learning theology from Christ? That word theology simply means the study of God. It deals with His attributes, His character, His works. And the question is, from whom are you learning about God? From whom are you learning about who God is and what He does? The repeated slogan of our culture is, follow your heart. Follow your feelings. And that ideology has crept into the church. And we could subtly end up thinking that somehow if I just follow my heart and follow my feelings, then I'll know what God is truly like. But friends, if you follow your heart, if you follow your feelings when it comes to who God is and what He's like, you will end up with a hideous idol that looks nothing like the one living and true God. And we could take it even further, and this may sound a bit harsh and offensive, but you will end up with an idol that looks just like you. We learn theology from Christ. He is the supreme revealer of God. That's what John says in verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the only God who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. Jesus makes God known. And the takeaway from this is when you read the Old Testament, And you read about all these laws and these sacrifices and the priests, and it just seems so foreign, and it sounds like a different way of salvation. That's what your gut tells you. This has got to be a different way of salvation. When you look at those things, you don't trust your gut, you look to Jesus. What do the sacrifices mean? What were the priests for? What was the tabernacle for? Look at Jesus. Do you want to know if the Father in the Old Testament, was he really loving and kind, or was he this God of wrath? You look to Jesus. If you want to know what heaven is like, don't use your imagination. You look to Jesus. We learn theology from him. He is the supreme revealer of God. He is the key to understanding the Lord and his word. And finally, ask yourselves, am I receiving the law from Christ? As we've already established, Moses indeed had grace and truth, and Jesus had law. He came to uphold the Ten Commandments. And if you want to have a right view of the law, and if you want to approach it rightly, you need to be looking to Christ. In fact, you need to let the law lead you to Christ. The Lord gives us his law because he loves us. And the law will show us our sin, and it will show us our inability to meet God's standard. It's not there. God is not saying, here's the standard you have to meet. It's there to show us that we cannot meet God's standards. But then, like a gracious teacher, the law, as it were, takes us by our hand and leads us to Jesus. It leads us to the one who obeyed the law perfectly. It leads us to the one who paid the penalty for our law breaking. And so we look to Jesus. As we look to the law, we look to Jesus and remember that when the Father looks at us, he sees nothing but the perfect obedience of his Son. And then, and only then, do we look to the law as a rule of life to live by. We take the law from the hand of our gracious Savior who redeemed us and who loves us. And as we take the law from Jesus, it becomes a response of gratitude. In other words, we obey not to earn his favor, but we obey because we already have his favor. So are you taking the law from the hand of your gracious Savior? And so friends, Moses was not a legalist. He preached Jesus. He proclaimed the gospel. He himself trusted in Jesus. He shared in our like precious faith. And so as we read the Old Testament, we need to be led to this same Jesus who meets our every need, the one who gives grace to the empty, grace to the brokenhearted, grace to sinners, grace for our failures. Friends, come to Christ and seek that undeserved favor. Seek the opposite of what you know you deserve, and you will receive from him grace upon grace.